At Christmas, she invited Hunter and I over for dinner. Now, here is a young married pastor's wife with two children. It's Christmas with all the things that have to be done. And she calmly entertained us without a flaw, and we had a wonderful time. I think that for Patty, table fellowship is really something that she puts a lot of emphasis on, and she makes it happen.
One of the things that has really impacted me, something that she lives out in her life but also has communicated, is just to be you. To be you and to serve God. And I tell you, that mutes the expectations that we have on ourselves as minister's wife, as a mom, as a wife, as someone who goes to church. Just be you and get rid of the expectations that you think of who you should be and serve God with that. So whether you love to rock babies or mentor young people or teach Bible studies or organize events, be you and serve God.
I just found her to be the most encouraging person and a great mentor and just a real caring person. I guess to say it, she was just really a close friend that through the bad times and through the good times, she was really there.
I had a lady ask me one Sunday at church, when are y'all going to have kids? Patty and Dick would be such great grandparents. When are you going to have kids? And Patty walked up about that time and she said, Patty, don't you want to have grandchildren? And Patty looked at this lady and she said, I'm not on that committee. And frankly, I don't think you are either. And it was one of the, I just was like, whoa, I can't believe she said that. But at the same time, she was defending me and taking up for me, and it meant a lot. So Patty's a great lady. She's been a great pastor's wife here and just a great example of a godly woman and one I hope to be like.
In the old church, we had the young married people, and my husband and I were the department directors, and these people's husbands were the teachers with Patty, and it started just that group. We grew and we got bigger and bigger, but every week, will you believe, that we planned, and we would plan the Bible study, the ministry, the parties.
Oh, remember that Halloween party we had? Yeah. That was Patty's favorite.
She loved it. She absolutely loved it. And she dressed up like an old lady school teacher.
Oh,
looked just like one.
The thing that I appreciate the most about you, which is your willingness over the course of my life to change, to work, to hear the things that I need, and even when you didn't understand them, to work really hard. To be something new for me, and it's one of the things that I admire the most about you and appreciate the most about you, and I love you a whole lot, and I'm so grateful for the chance to celebrate you today. I love you.
What a beautiful video, and I hope that you were delighted in that, Patty. Were you surprised? We've been working on that for a while. Well, welcome. I'm Amy Peterson, and it is my privilege tonight to share the stage with Patty Lincoln as we all come to the table and have a conversation together. I want to share with you the purpose for tonight, and then it really explains where we in women's ministry, we're going to be driving towards for the upcoming months. For the last 2 years, our women's ministry has been really had a purpose and a theme of being able to, I'm wondering if you can say it with me, to thrive. And we were wanting to be women who would do more than just survive in this life, but to thrive, to grow wherever we are. And that had been our theme for women's ministry, and really all of our events supported that theme. Well, we've been asking God for a fresh word and a new theme, and I am excited to reveal it to you tonight. God is so faithful. And it was ignited with this one verse, Psalm 34:5, and it says, "Those who look to him are radiant, and their faces are never covered with shame." So our word for this upcoming year is radiant, to be radiant women. And the dictionary, I love words, and to kind of figure out what they mean, it gives color and variety to it. The word radiant means beautiful, gorgeous, dazzling, sparkly, shiny. I could just imagine sequins if it was a visual. But it also means confident and joy-filled. My favorite part is that to be radiant, you need to reflect light. Think of a mirror. And if you would put a mirror in a dark room, it has no capacity on its own to shine, to glow, to illuminate. But when you position that mirror to reflect light, oh man, it glows so brightly and it shines. So too with us. We do not have the capacity, ladies, to be radiant, to be confident, to be joy-filled, to be beautiful, to be sparkling on our own. But what we need to do is position ourselves to reflect the true light of Jesus Christ. And that is when we can glow so brightly. And that brings me back to our purpose here tonight. Our purpose tonight is to see an example of a radiant life. Patty's going to be here and share with us from her story and really some great application of what it looks like to live a life that is positioned to reflect the true light of Jesus. And then I hope you will leave here inspired, inspired that you too can be radiant. You too can be beautiful. You too can be confident and joy-filled with this deep, solid security. So let's praise Jesus about that, that we all have the capacity because of him to shine brightly. So I believe that Patty is a truly radiant woman. I'm excited for those of you to hear parts of her story that you may have heard before or may not have heard before. But all in all, may we live here inspired, knowing that each of us can too be radiant. So will you all join me in welcoming Patty Lincoln to the stage? Patty, we're so glad that you are here tonight with us.
Thank you.
And I hope that this will be just a real casual, come-to-the-table conversation in which I'm really we're the only ones talking, but that you all are a part of it with us. Thank you for being here, and thank you all for being here as well. Many of you submitted questions, and they were awesome. And although we couldn't fit all of them in because of our time frame, they definitely were a part of charting the course of our conversation here tonight. So thank you so much for being a part of that. So let's get started.
Well, I've got to blow us off the course right off the bat. Go because ahead. Y'all have already blown me off course. I mean, everybody asked me out there, was I nervous? And I wasn't. But I was blown away by this, and I'm so touched. And I'm nervous now that I cannot convey what I want to convey, because it has been a privilege to be here for 38 years.
Absolutely.
And so I don't know how this is going to go.
For those of you, the last one was her daughter Elizabeth. For those of you who don't know Elizabeth from before, and then Kate Lincoln, her daughter-in-law, was the one with the curly, pretty blonde hair. And then, of course, your friends for how many years?
Yeah.
Have they been your friends? Since you've been here. How long have you been here, Patty?
Last Sunday was 38 years.
38 years. Yeah.
And I was not here last Sunday. I was in, I recognized where Elizabeth filmed that is post-surgery. She had surgery Tuesday, will be 2 weeks ago. She's doing well. But yes, I was blown away by this. So.
Well, you have been here for 38 years. I'm wondering, those of you, who was here when Dick and Patty came 38 years ago? Just with a show of hands.
I see.
Awesome. That is wonderful history. And I have to ask this question. How many of you were not even born yet?
Oh, now that's an ugly question, Amy.
Well, we are so glad you're here. And there's just, you know, to not be a part of that history and not really know you as well as those who have been here for a while, I think it's so awesome to have the opportunity for us to sit down and for you to share about who you are, about your life, and about what it looks like to live a life that loves Jesus. So as you think back of your 38 years here, and I'm sure there's just so many memories and remembrances and stories, but if you could kind of zero in on one memory that you really treasure, what would that be?
Well, that was the first question that you sent me and the first one that I read, and I gave it a couple of thoughts, and I'm a literalist, so it's hard for me to say something is the best or the most, because I think I don't want to leave out this one that was almost there, you know. And in 38 years, I've got so many. And the one that just kept coming up that I'm going to share, I have to preface by saying I've been loved well by this church. I mean, there have been highlight moments, and where Dick and I were honored on some of those anniversaries, and they are treasured memories. And the Dick referenced one that will forever be a treasured memory when so much had gone into the decision to relocate, and there was so much uncertainty and unknown, and it's almost unheard of for a church to relocate en masse where you don't lose people. And the night that that vote was unanimous, and Hunter Rents, and Nancy was one of the ones on the video, Hunter was one of the ones who spoke. And I'll never forget, I hadn't even planned to say this, but I'll never forget him telling his story and holding a candle and tears just snuffling down his face as he talked about Shandon. And but the story that I do want to share that's just such a warm little memory for me, and it'll make no sense to anybody else, but I think we had been here either 3 weeks or 4 weeks, because we came, like I said, on October 16th. And it's funny that last Sunday was the actual day of when we came. And it was either 3 or 4 weeks later, we had what was called Founders Day, which was basically the covered dish. But until we outgrew it, we had one of those every year. And I had, at the time when we moved here, I had a three-month-old baby, and I was 28. I had a three-month-old baby and a three-and-a-half-year-old son, not quite three-and-a-half. And ever since we got to a full-time church, Dick had always left so that we took two cars to church, and once the children came along, we still took two cars. I was the one who got the children ready and dressed and got them to church. That was always. So this particular Sunday, and by the way, you young mothers who carry those 95-pound carry weights plus your baby, I don't know how you do it. We didn't do that back then. We carried them in our arms. And neither of my babies liked being carried like this, you know, in the sweet little way. They both wanted to either be up here or looking out. But because of everything else I had going on that day, I'm pretty sure I was carrying Elizabeth that way, which also means she was probably squirming. But I had Elizabeth, I had a diaper bag, I had my purse, and I had my Bible, and I had something. I don't remember what I took that I had fixed for the covered dish, but it was something, and I was carrying it with this. So I had all that going on, plus Stephen pulling on me and I'm prancing around, dancing around. And my fatal mistake, I didn't put my keys up. I had all that going on. I had my keys in my hand. And for any of you who remember if you went to the old location, I went to got on the elevator and went down to the dining hall to deposit my food before going to take my children to their rooms to go sit in my Sunday school class, Jewel Averett's Sunday school class. And I hadn't been there enough to learn the trick of that elevator. This was not an elevator that did like elevators like this where the doors go like that. It had a little ring here, and I knew I needed to turn it. So I did turn it, but then I kept trying to get the door to go back in the wall, and it wouldn't go. And so then I'd give it the old heave-ho more, and I kept trying, and on about the fifth try, I dropped my keys down the elevator shaft. At which point, Stephen just starts crying because he thinks we're locked in the elevator. Well, we were locked in the elevator, truly, but not because of the keys. So then I start trying to, no, it'll be all right, Stephen, we'll get out. Meanwhile, I start banging on the window. There was a little window in there. But the way that there was a stairwell that came down, but it was offset. The elevator was over in the end. The stairwell came down that way, and the dining hall was that way. So people were coming, you know, going, taking their food. And I couldn't make myself heard, so I just keep trying. Finally, somebody did come. You'd think I'd remember my rescuer, but I do not. But I do remember that once they found me and got me out, and I told them that I dropped my keys down. I mean, even though we were on the bottom floor, you know, you couldn't see them. And they said, we'll go get Earl Craig. He'll get your keys. And so here he comes. He said, don't worry. You're not the first. I'll get your keys. Now, there wouldn't be one pastor's wife in a million who'd choose a story like that to be a treasured memory. But I'll tell you what it says to me, Amy. And it says what you alluded to up there. I knew what I felt like inside. I was just an ordinary person. I didn't have it all together. I loved Jesus. I loved making that dish. I loved having my children there. I didn't mind that I was doing the kids by myself. But I wasn't doing it perfectly. I wasn't doing it well. And the thing about this church, that story could be just change a few details. For 38 years, I've been doing some of the same things. I've still been an ordinary person. And I've still had flubs. And I've still done things. The time that I put on two different shoes and went through down at the township merrily on my way as I ushered for the singing Christmas tree.
And with two different pairs of shoes on?
Yeah,
I
had two different pairs of shoes
colors,
on.
Because, different colors?
Oh, yeah. Because we had built a house, and why we didn't ever invest $3.99 in a cheap full-length mirror, I don't know. But but my way of doing it was to stand up on our platform tub, and I'd put on one of each, and I'd look at myself in the mirror, and then I plopped down this time and did exactly like James says, who looks in a mirror and then goes off? Well, I did. And so I had already been ushering, and somebody said, did you realize one was an olive pear and one was black? And they said, you are going to go home and change. I said, heck no. I said, I've already, you know, what? I just had fun with it. But the thing about Shandon is, I not only was accepted, you know, you can be accepted but not feel you're measuring up. I have always felt at Shandon that I've been accepted, I've been loved, I've been enjoyed. And that is a gift.
That is a gift.
And it's so true. You are who you are, and you have led by example and have given us as ministers' wives the room and the freedom to be that as well. And I know that's trickled down to everyone else here. You just be you and be able to serve the Lord as you are without pretense. And I've so appreciated that in you, and I love that you told that story. But I've never seen an elevator like that. With rings and turns and
so. See, the door pushed out. That's what I was doing wrong. You were supposed to push the door out, just okay. Like it had one of those meshes, didn't it? Those of you who were there back then, it had a mesh, and then you had to push the door open. But I didn't have all that together.
I love knowing that. Well, you have been here for 38 years, and how long have you and Dick been married? Big sigh.
This is 60, we've been married, December will be 45 years.
45 years. Mm-hmm. Wow, another applause. Yay, we applaud. We applaud that amount of time. Because we applaud, because we all know that marriage takes work. And so I'm curious, knowing each of you and thinking back over your marriage, can you isolate maybe a challenging time that you all had and had to work through and how that looked like in your marriage and things you've learned from that to encourage those of us who are in the front lines and hard things of marriage?
Well, of course we have, and I could, you know, depending on how honest I want to be, I could share a whole lot, but I'm going to share that, and I cleared this with Dick, and it has not been a secret, because it has been, it was the single most difficult, painful thing that we started with right off the bat, and that was his mother. And I kid you not, I mean, I could... I have told many stories, and I won't tell them anymore, but out of the four of our parents, she lived the longest and lived to be 94, which God has his little weird reasons. But, it was very, very difficult. She was actually intentionally against our marriage and intentionally didn't want it to succeed. Now, I never did think she really wanted us to divorce. I don't think she wanted that. But I do think she wanted Dick to say, Mother, you were right. I should not have married her. And it took a long time for me to realize, I thought I saw the problem, and I thought I saw what the solution was. And it took years, even after we began to get a handle on some of it with counseling help, I really realized how difficult that is. If you're the one involved and it's your family, it is really hard. It wasn't the easy thing that I thought it was. He just ought to do what I thought he ought to do. But if you grow up with a problem of some sort like that, this would apply to a whole bunch of stuff. Kids learn a way to cope, to minimize the pain. And that's not an all bad thing. It helps you grow up, but most of those coping skills need to be addressed and changed later on. But the biggest thing is, that's all you know. You don't know how to make the situation right. If you then are, you're in, placed in that situation, somebody like me who has never seen anybody like that in my life, I've never seen anybody treat anybody else the way she intentionally treated me. And it was so strong that I could not bring myself for a decade probably. It wasn't until my Dick's sister finally admitted to me, oh yes, she did know what she was doing and she did it on purpose. See, I thought, does she realize she's doing that, or is she just not aware? And I've come to find out she was doing it on purpose. So we had to go to counseling, which I have, I realized not too long after that, as I watched other couples, I really kind of came to be grateful for that it was bad enough that we had to get help. Because a lot of people are teetering on that edge, and they manage to just keep hanging on some sort of way, but you don't ever get beyond it. And I will say that counseling was incredibly helpful. This was before we had the free counseling in our church, which was begun by Hunter Rentz. Nancy was on the video again, because after he retired, just said, I want to do something to serve the Lord. And I feel like I can help in this way. Can you use me? And so he was the first one. We've actually had several since then. But the counseling helped us begin. It did not, though, make everything great. It didn't take care of all the problems. But it did give us a way to start coping, and it definitely helped us make them better. And then beyond that, it helped us learn some skills of how to talk through things that we could then apply to other things. So I wouldn't really give anything for that. And then really later on in her life, like her last 5 years of life, I saw we finally were able to get some medication that helped her. And I realized that even though I say she was intentional, she couldn't help all of that. I don't think it was what she truly maybe wanted to be, but she didn't know how to be anything different either. And so we did have a few years where things got some better and all of that. But that was a struggle. And it was started from the get-go, and it lasted up till just a few years ago.
Well, that's so tough. And I know and I bet that many of us in this room could say, I'm in that boat. May not be your mother-in-law. It could be a family member, a brother, a sister, uncle, whoever in which we just don't know what to do.
Yeah.
And I love the fact, and I remember hearing this when we first came, and it just is a testament to admitting the fact that you're not perfect. We need help. And counseling is a huge help to give you the tools to make you really think that I can get through this by doing these things. And so we really encourage anybody who is kind of, like you said, teetering on the brink of trying to grit through it, to get some help and call the Shandon and call the church here and just ask, because we do have a counseling department. But that is a huge component to, I know how you've been able to sustain these 45 years in your marriage.
And I would say, I want to just strengthen that to anybody as well. I think counseling, it is always scary. So it takes courage and it takes faith and it takes real strength. But I remember seeing somebody, and she's in our church today, and she doesn't even know that I ever saw this or thought this, but this was before we had a counselor, but and we never have had AA, but we had some sort of a, and it wasn't the divorce care, but it was some sort of a dealing with your past or something, kind of a group thing going on one time. And I remember seeing this young single woman who had it all together. I admired her, always have, still do. My admiration went through the roof when I saw her walk into that group. And what I thought was, I don't have any idea of her past and what she is going in that room to deal with. And I still don't. I have no curiosity about anybody else's past, I'll tell you that. But I thought, praise God for her courage and her strength to go get it. And I mean, she's a vibrant woman who has had a beautiful marriage, raised great kids. So yes, I want to join you in just saying, don't be ashamed to do it.
That's so true. And I think that is a component to being radiant, is to realize that you can't do it on your own, to realize that you need help. And whether it comes through counseling to help you get into the position of reflecting who Jesus is, that is what you need to do. And so I know all throughout your life, the Lord has been a huge part of it. And obviously for the last 38 years here, he's been that way. But when did you begin your relationship with Jesus? And then to further on, how has it grown through the years?
Well, I was one of those fortunate ones that was raised in a Christian home, and I was raised by parents who lived it, not perfectly, but enough that I was always, we moved around several times, but always found a church, got active. So I was always surrounded by good teaching. I came up through the old Sunbeam and GA thing where scripture memory was a real part of that. But I accepted Christ. My mother is the one who led me to Christ at age 7. And I actually, I remember that I walked the aisle to make it public on Mother's Day of 1957. So, and I was not one who strayed. Now, I don't mean to say I was perfect, but I wasn't. I'm kind of a rules person. I'm literal. I didn't smoke because I did try one cigar one time, one puff, and it burned, and I thought, that's it. I've got lung cancer. That's it. I'm out. I mean, I'm pretty, you know, but now my little attitude wasn't great all the time, so there was plenty for God to work on. But in terms of just deciding, I don't want to have any of that God stuff anymore, I never went through that. And then my dear friend, who actually died this March, and she and I shared an unusual middle name. Our middle name is Anel, and I'd never met another one until I met Margie in college. She was 3 years older than me, and she was a mentor and had a real walk with the Lord. And so this was early college for me, and I got involved with that. And our new pastor, the one who led Dick to Christ and who married us, is the one who began preaching about the Lordship of Christ. And so that's when I went through dealing with that. And then when Dick and I married, I had the fortune, I think, of knowing that he was going to be a pastor, so I didn't have to deal with that. I knew that I could have quit dating him if I had not liked that idea. So But anyway, when we came here, I will remember well when we came here, I had those young children, and I was I started out involved in Sunday school, and then I started teaching a Sunday school class. I was a young married. I started teaching young marrieds. In fact, I was teaching the year that my entire class turned 30. We all turned 30 together. And from then on, because we used to do the age grading, I mean, every year or two, you got moved on up. So I stayed with the young marrieds, and my peers went on up. So then I was always had this heart. But I think it's because Dick and I struggled so, because we had so much struggle with his mother and all the ways that impacted our marriage. And I just felt like church, God is very real. He's got the answers. But if we don't get real a little bit anyway in church and talk about it, we're not helping anybody. You can't put a spiritual Band-Aid on some things. So that was my heart. And but I needed to be in a Bible study of my own, and we didn't even have one in Shandon. And I can't tell you what a thrill it is to me. Here we are getting ready to go away, and our church has got all it's got now in terms of Bible studies for women and men. I mean, I went to First Pres to take a K. Arthur course, and I did that for several years. So I was hungry for Bible study. I've been slower to grow in prayer. And Dick, a couple of years ago, when he began to share about how personal he got with prayer, and I was seeing the changes that was making in him. And I thought, you know what? I've had a pretty good handle on a lot of do's and don'ts, but I don't feel like I have really changed inside much, and I don't even know when. And I didn't like it. And so I kind of got serious about that. And I think that'll come up in another question.
And that was
something
a few
I'll
years
share.
Ago. That was a few years
yeah,
ago.
Yeah, two.
Awesome.
2 years ago. We're talking very recent, really. Maybe it was three.
Yeah, I just love knowing that, because it just puts us all in the place of we're continually moving forward, we're continually growing, we're continually seeking the Lord and allowing Him to change us. I loved what you said. I wish I had written it down about getting real. God is real, but we've got to get real in order to see healing and His real influence in our life. We do have a couple more things that we do want to talk about, but I wanted to take a moment and just ask you a couple questions that will be real quick, real lightning round, and that are opposites. And we just want to know what you prefer.
Okay.
So salty or sweet?
Salty.
Very quickly said, salty.
Actually, I'm one of the few who has a salt deficiency. I've been told to eat all the salt I want. Probably overdo it sometimes. But.
You're lucky. Books or movies?
Ooh, that was tough, but books would have to win out over movies.
Well, then fiction or nonfiction?
Ooh, that was a toughie too, because I've got one of both going all the time.
Oh, you do? What are you reading right now?
Right now, I just started. My grandmother told me to tell you she's sorry. That was recommended to me by one of Elizabeth's friends. I'm not far enough into that. I just finished 2 nights ago Lost in the Birds, which if you know anything about birding, about somebody doing a big year for birds, Bury My Heart at Wounded Knee, which, wow, about the whole how we did wrong to the Native Americans big time and over and over and over and over again. I'm about to finish that. And then I'm reading another book. I've forgotten what this one's called, but it's on the personalities.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
That's a slew.
Yeah.
Books. I know it's life stage two, but I've got 3 boys at home, and I have nothing going on
well,
right
yeah,
now.
I didn't hear that.
Nothing. All right, mountains or the beach?
Beach.
Yard work or housework? Neither.
Neither, yeah.
Oh, my kind of woman, neither. And then this is just something that I'm curious about. What is your favorite Bible verse?
Well, now see, that was a snag for me because there we go with my literal.
I know.
How do I just pick out one out of all of them?
And now honestly, you told me that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So this is where I'm going to veer again and answer. I've never had just one favorite. I'm really grateful for the background I have that I came into adulthood with a real, I was in sword drill even. So I had a lot of Bible verses in my repertoire, and I wouldn't give anything for them because then when I found as an adult, I just found I had almost totally lost the ability to memorize word for word. I mean, I can memorize a concept. So then I've gone through most of my adult life with just, you know, trying to memorize and then capturing the concept but not really getting it.
I think that is so good. I mean, how many of y'all have felt that way before? I feel like my brain is mush. And with everything else that's going on there, I can get the basic gist.
But I'm going to tell you something. I told you that I was going to do this.
Yeah, I want to know.
And I've already told her that I need somebody out there who's going to be a guru. I didn't plan to plug this, but if she's going to toss it to me like this, I got to tell you.
Free game.
Because this is the thing that has transformed my life, that this and my paying more attention to prayer, personal prayer, and I'll say more about that when I think, if you ask me or if you want me to say it in a minute, I will, but I was redoing what I was going to do every year at the end of the year. I start over. I do not always read the Bible through in a year because I find that sometimes, particularly using the same plan over and over and over, I get to where I get into a check-the-box mentality.
And that's what Dick does, right? He's read through the Bible.
He has done it.
And yeah.
But, you know, I think for Dick, I think it has served a different purpose in Dick's life than for mine because Dick is not... I'm more routine and rules-oriented every other way. That's my bent. So I can take that and do that. Dick is so anti. He wants to break the rules. Don't do that. I think for him, it's been a discipline.
Right.
It's been a wonderful discipline to know, Lord, I will meet you here, and I will do it this way, and I will not veer, and I will keep going.
Right.
Until he shows him something else to do. And so I just think we're two different personalities and things.
Yeah.
But usually I find that whatever version I'm reading through or whatever, I do need some system to keep me. If I just go on my own way, I really kind of end up in mush myself. So I need something to keep me on track, but it can't be the same thing year after year after year. So this was about... This would have been in the tail end of 14. I was thinking through, and I think that may have been when I was thinking through the new prayer thing. I'm pretty sure that I started that at the same time. But God just put it in me because it came through from Beth Moore, Living Proof Ministries blog. And this was, I think it was after Christmas, so I think it was just those last tail end of the year when kind of everything has died down and I'm able to put some perspective and tidy up some, and what am I going to start into? And it was this scripture memory plan that she's got. And it's called Siesta's Scripture Memory Verses 2015, and I'm assuming she uses the same. She does it every other year, but I'll tell you why it caught my eye. The thing was, she wants you to encourage you and challenge you to memorize 24 verses a year, to do one on the first of every month and one on the 15th of every month. Well, my first thought was, that sounds great. I can't do that. I can't do that. I cannot memorize. But I went ahead and read her thing, and basically what she says is that 24 is a challenge for everybody, and having done it now, I will say it really is. But she says it is doable, and it is doable if you do the way that she does it. She's got a lot of help. She tells you how to make a little spiral notebook. She actually puts herself... a verse that she's memorizing, and she'll tell about it, tell why she picked it, and then you're free to choose that verse. But this is what hooked me. Every other plan I had ever tried to memorize verses as an adult, it's somebody tells you what verses to memorize, right, whether you're doing a training program or something. This one, she says, choose your own verses. Choose what is something you're going through right now. And it doesn't matter how short it is. In fact, if it's a long passage, she encourages you to break it up and just start with a small thing. But now that intrigued me. And I decided at least I was going to try it and see if God could help me. And I want you to know, when I started in January 1 of 2015, it almost takes my breath away. I cannot tell you. I was at a low place. And the verses that I started with, they kind of, I don't even know how I got them, except that every time when I would be coming up to a few days before the 1st or a few days before the 15th, and I would get, Lord, I don't even know what, I need a verse. Where's a verse? So I start looking everywhere, you know, through what I'm reading and looking through verse of the day, and if you got anything that tips, and it, always something would come through. Out of the 24 verses, 4 times did I choose their verse, but the other 20 were something that God took me through. Through that, I learned how to praise. I chose some praise verses, and I made myself memorize them. I made myself sing them. I made myself say them, even though I didn't feel them. And before long, I realized, I'm different. I feel it. I feel different. I'm not the way I was. And by the time I got, through the way, I began to sort of realize that they weren't sequential verses, but they were beginning to build on one another. Right. He would lead me to a verse, and it would be talking about keeping me steady. And I would think, oh, that's just like my 5th verse that was talking about something like that. And just to see how God was working that in my life. And by the time I chose verse 24, it was, He reached down and drew me out of the pit where I was mired in the muck and clay, and set me down safely on a warm rock and held me steady until I was ready to start the journey again. And I thought, Lord, you did that for me this year. And I will tell you, girls, I tried this last year. It was so transformational. I've tried to make myself memorize some scripture. I've been the pits at it this last year. I can't do it. And I think there's real value in her doing it every other year. I don't think I could have done another year like that. But I can't wait to start it again in 2017.
That's a great tip. I mean, just to be held accountable.
Well, it's God. It's
what was the reference of that verse that you recited? Do you remember?
Honestly, I'm still not great at that.
I think it's Psalm 16 or 18. I think it's Psalm 16 or 18.
I could have told you in December of 2015,
But I love what you said, and I have seen it so true in my life. Memorizing verses is not just an Awana's you have to thing, but it is something that God encourages through His word, because when His word is in our heart, He is alive and active, and He changes us. We can't understand just by doing that we can be changed. But ladies,
and if you're asking Him and He's leading you to the very verses you
exactly
ought to be learning, how powerful is that?
It is powerful.
That's so
I was
exciting.
In such a hard place in my young 20s in Dallas, Texas, and I was just on the brink of owning my relationship with the Lord for me. And I began to do that very thing, and I would date in my Bible the verses through devotionals, through a sermon, mm-hmm. through what Bible study I was in. I would begin to date when that verse hit me. Well, years later, I looked back in my Bible, and I lined up chronologically the verses of when He gave me those, and I could look back and recollect I was going through this and this and this, and it was a beautiful story that in my circumstance, that's all I could see, but I saw through the lineup of those verses what He was doing behind the scenes. So I encourage you, we both do.
Yeah.
Bible memory is a huge component to positioning yourself to reflect who Jesus is. And get started. I think that's a great thing. I'm sure you could just go to Beth Moore's blog, Living Proof Live Ministries, and check that out. And we'll probably put some links up on our website in case you're interested in doing that. Well, as we continue to move on and have to bring this night to a close. Can we just kick off our shoes and put on our pajamas and eat popcorn and talk some more? But I'm interested. We saw Kate up there and three little cutie pies. You're a grandma too. And I love asking grandmothers what your grandma name is. So can you tell us what your grandma name is?
Sassy.
Isn't that the cutest? Sassy. Now tell us how Sassy came about.
Well, I didn't know either of my grandmothers, and I only knew one grandfather, and called him originally Granddaddy. But still, that's fine, because that's, to me, that's who he is. But I have struggled my whole life. I don't have a name for either of my grandmothers, I will always say my mother's mother or my father's mother. And so when I thought about grandmother or something like that, I didn't want just a position. I wanted something. And I knew that the best name of all is a name that your grandchildren give you. I did know that. And so I knew that whatever I picked, if they changed it, that would be perfectly fine with me. But just like a mother leans over her baby and says, "Mommy loves you," and "Daddy, your mommy and daddy love you," I wanted to be able to lean over those grandchildren and say, "I love you." Sorry about that. So I wanted something that would be unique and that would be me. Because I know some other people. I have a friend who, her grandmother, and I did get to meet her, and she was a fun, loving person, but it was Yay Yay. And that, for Yay Yay, will forever be that woman to me. Exactly. It's a personal name. So that's what I wanted. So I went sort of just kind of thinking and keeping my ears open. And Sassy came about in a strange way. I was helping Elizabeth paint her first apartment in Atlanta. And she picked out a color called Sassy Green. And which that didn't strike me as anything. But she had to go on to work, and so I would come home, and it wouldn't be the right color. And I finally kept calling. I said, "No, I need Sassy Green. I need Sassy Green. This is something else. I need Sassy Green." And about the fifth time to the paint store, I thought, you know, Sassy might not be a bad name. So I kind of liked it. So I ran it by Elizabeth. She said, "I think that's cute." Ran it by Kate. Kate thought it was cute. Ran it by Dick. He was okay. But Stephen didn't like it.
Okay.
So I said, "Okay, well, that's out then, because I'm not going to call myself something that he doesn't like." So I happened to run, about 3 or 4 months later, I ran into Stephen and Jason Weingart in Chipotle. And Jason says to me, "So what's the new baby going to call you?" And I said, "Well, we really haven't decided yet." And Stephen said, "Thought you were going to be Sassy." And I said, "No, you didn't like that." And he said, "Oh, I like that." "Okay, good, I'm Sassy." So that's how.
That's a great, great name, Sassy. And you've been a grandmother. You are a grandmother. You've been an empty nester. You've been on down the line with children in your home. You've been a high school parent and a middle school parent and a young mom. And I'm just curious, after being a part of all those phases, it's so cool to look back with wisdom. And I am curious.
It's sort of cool to look back.
Okay. I guess you're right.
Very humbling
sort of.
To look back with wisdom.
That's true. I'm still in the front lines of child raising right now, and so my head is mush. But I'm wondering if what you know now, if you could go back to the Patty that had a house of your kids, that was really in the grueling disciplining and learning, if you could go back and talk to your younger self, your raising mom self, what would you say to her, knowing what you know now?
Chill. I mean, honestly, I didn't chill about much at all. And that literal nature that I'm talking about that I am, and that I've got a high need, a high fear, I guess, of doing something wrong, that's what kept me from, you know, sinning in a lot of the more obvious ways, just because I just wanted to do it all right. And if I could go back now and say, it's good to have good goals. It's good to work hard at it. And it is work. But
you're going to make mistakes and they're going to make mistakes, and that's part of the process, and it's okay. So don't get so upset about it. It can be, I think people can actually make fun of out of it. I wasn't good at that, but I wish I could go back and just say, lighten up a little bit.
Oh, that's so good. So young moms, lighten up. Lighten up a little bit, right? I'm looking in the mirror and saying it to myself. That's a great word.
Yeah, we just take everything so heavy.
Right. It all depends.
Yeah.
I always feel like I'm messing up my boys.
Yeah.
And every little movement and decision, they're just going to be ruined for their whole life. But that's a really good word. Well, sadly, as we are finishing up our conversation tonight, I do want to put our thinking to the future. And we know that you and Dick are in the position of retiring in due time. And I'm just curious as what you are excited about in retirement.
We're getting really excited about our house in Greenville that we're redoing. And that's been a work of God, because when Dick said he wanted to redo a 60s ranch, I thought, I don't. But I did agree to, but I don't want to dwell on the house because that's such a little part of it. But I don't really know what we're looking for. Forward to be honest. I think it's going to be so different, and I think it is going to, I don't know what it's going to be like to start over relationship-wise, although I've had some good examples in our church, people who've come to us having done that, and I've seen how they get in and get. I think it's just right now, it's this nebulous feel. That when I said, you know, going way back to, I said I knew Dick was going to be a minister. We thought we would never own our own home. I'd have been glad to get a 60s ranch back then. I just thought we would never own our own home. But I trusted God, and God has just had such great things. And one of the greatest things he's had for us has been 38 years here. I mean, that is has been a privilege. And I've never taken it lightly, and I don't take it lightly now. And I'm excited that he has allowed us to stay, and I'm excited that our church is doing so great and well, and everybody's attitude has been, and that God's got somebody else. And it's going to be exciting to watch that. But what our next piece is going to be, I don't know. I really don't. But I don't believe God's going to quit. I believe he's got something.
I just love that, because I think it applies to whatever life stage you're in which you have that, I don't know. But when you are in the position to reflect him, there is that confidence that comes no matter what is in the future. You know that he's got you covered. So for those of you out there who are kind of looking at your future going, oh, I don't even know, and this is scary and bothersome, yes, but as you are in the position of letting his light shine on you, his truth, his love, his faithfulness, you can walk with confidence through whatever it may hold. So even though it wasn't a pinpointed answer, that was a beautiful way of pointing to the Lord and giving encouragement to all of us. Whether you're facing it now, we know that we'll be facing it at some point in the future along the way too. So in thinking about your time here as the pastor's wife, what has been something that's been rewarding? Something, I said, not the most rewarding
thank
thing,
you.
But something that has been rewarding.
I think the biggest rewarding thing has been that Dick and I both had the feeling, he shared, and some of you knew these men as well, but to know what a great church Shandon was when we came, and to know the tremendous heritage and legacy that we adopted from Dr. Helms, Mr. Helms and Dr. Brown. And Dick and I both had this feeling. We would occasionally would joke about it out and about, but we would say it to ourselves, oh, we hope we don't mess Shandon up. I mean, you talk about being afraid with your children. I mean, right. Shandon was a great church, and it was running about 400 when we came, had just this loving fellowship, and they were elderly, but they were so forward-thinking, they were so positive, they were so willing to listen to a young whippersnapper who was 30, and to follow him and calm him down, like he shared some this morning and all of that. So seeing how big the church has gotten, even to the extent where I, almost every event or every Sunday or something, I will meet somebody and learn that they've been faithful members for 10 to 15 years and I don't even know them, but to see how the character of the church is the same. Now that is the most rewarding thing.
That is something. I think so too. And I think, you know, that is something that's of value here and that I have found here because we've been here 12 years almost, and consider Shandon home. And we know that you guys will be moving on. And I'm curious, having you been in this situation and in this position for 38 years, and there will be a new pastor coming and leading this church and a new wife, what is it that we can do as women of Shandon to welcome her, to support her, to love on her as that transition is happening?
Well, I think, since I knew you were going to say this, in a way I'm preaching to the choir, because I do think the character of the church is the same, and I think you all know how to do it. I just think you need to love her and let her be her. I was fortunate, as I said, I was raised in a home that took me to church and loved church, and we had good churches. So I had good churches experience, but your next one may not have grown up and may feel inadequate or something like that. But I think if you just do the way that you all naturally do anyway and take her whatever she is and allow and love that, the only real thing that I would think you need to be aware of, and my heart goes out to her, 400 was manageable. It's going to be much harder to come into a church this size and remember people to get to know. We don't even have gatherings where you are seeing people consistently like I was. I mean, I was seeing people consistently, right. Sunday morning and Sunday night, pretty much the same people, Wednesday night and all of that. So do not expect her to remember your name, and do not say, "I bet you don't remember my name, do you?" Don't do that.
That's a hard setup, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
But other than that, y'all will do well with, you will love her and accept her. Because, you know, you don't have to run me down to love her. I knew that everybody loved the other two wives that were here. They were great women. And I didn't feel, that just means that they're going to love me too.
Well, is there anything else that you would like to just share in closing with us as far as encouragement for the future?
The only thing that I do just want to say, I don't know how to say it enough, is thank you. I cannot say what a joy it's been and what a privilege it has been, and it will always be. And one of the beauties of Greenville is that it's not that far away, and we will get to come back but not be in anyone's hair, hopefully. But I really think that Shandon's future is going to be even greater. You know, our society is, our Sunday school lesson, at least the way I taught it, which was kind of a summary lesson today of the last five things, and it really just hit on our society needs what the church is offering. How we offer it and how we get it out to them might get a little harder or might need to change some, but I think that Shandon is a wonderful church of people who are real, they're diverse, they're love the Lord, honest about themselves, and all want to grow. And I think that people are welcome. And so I think the future is going to be great, and I look forward to hearing how that is.
Well, we love you. And we are so thankful for the way that you have loved and lived and continue to hear. And for those of you who don't know, maybe you're visiting, but we're in the time of preparing for a new pastor. We don't have anyone yet, and there is a team that is working on that. But Dick and Patty are still here for a while, and but we know that that is in your future, and we want to be prepared for that too as a church. But thank you for being a living example of being radiant, of knowing how to position yourself, and sharing with us how to do it. So thank you.
Well, thank you all very much. I thank you all. Thank you. Thank you.
Well, before Katie comes back up to close us out with announcements, Patty, would you lead us in prayer?
I would love to. Father, you know what a unique and wonderful body you have put together here at Shandon, and what a wonderful relationship we've had for 38 years. It's been more like a marriage than anything else, or like a big family. And Father, you know that next one that you have. You're preparing that family right now for this family and how they will fit in. And I do pray that you would take the legacy that is here at Shandon, of which Dick and I will now be a part, and use it for your glory here at Shandon, and that you would bless this next pastor and his wife. You bless them even half as much as you've blessed us. They won't be able to take it all in. I just thank you, and I love you, and I praise you for how you have led us. In your name I pray. Amen.
Thank you guys so much for coming to the table tonight. We're so glad you chose to spend your evening with us. Before we go, we have a few thank yous that we need to give out. First, we'd like to say thank you to the women of Tapestry. That was such a beautiful gift of music that you shared with us tonight. So let's give them a big thank you. Also, I would like to say thank you to Aaron Carroll and Andrea Martin, who planned and organized this whole event along with the women's ministry team. So give them a big thank you. A few announcements before we go. Let's mark our calendars and save the date. The first one is to look for in January. We're starting a spiritual mentoring program. So look for that to start sometime in January. The winter Bible studies start January 10th. Yes, January 10th. And so make sure you get on the website, shandon.org, and look for the Bible studies that we're going to be offering. In March, the 24th and 25th, will be our spring conference, and we're so excited to have Renee Swope from Proverbs 31 Ministries. And we have a little video of what she's going to be sharing with us.
Hi, I'm Renee Swope, author of A Confident Heart. Sometimes as a grown woman in ministry, I can still find myself standing in the shadows of self-doubt. One afternoon, I was feeling uncertain about a large women's event where I'd be speaking. As I stood in front of my bathroom mirror, putting on makeup, I begged God to take away my doubt and zap me with confidence. Instead, he taught me a powerful lesson. As I turned around to get something, I noticed a huge 9-foot shadow on the wall. I couldn't believe how much bigger it was than my 5-foot-2-inch frame. The distorted image made me look bigger than I was. All of a sudden, it dawned on me. Just like the shadow on my wall, my insecurity was distorting my thoughts and overpowering my emotions with uncertainty. For the past 16 years, I've been writing and speaking into the lives of women through Proverbs 31 Ministries. When I surveyed over 1,200 women for my book, I discovered that our most common self-doubts are thoughts like, I'm not good enough, I don't have anything special to offer, I'm always disappointing someone, and I'll never change. These defeating thoughts block God's truth that promises to transform our lives as we depend on Him for our security and confidence. That day as I stood in my bathroom, I sensed God whispered in my heart, "Renee, you can only see the shadow because you've turned away from the light. Turn back towards the light." As I turned back towards the light above the mirror, I no longer stood in the shadow.
It is going to be a great weekend. You don't want to miss it. And we're excited to announce that registration is open for the spring conference. And if you register before January 1st, then you will get a special deal of $20. So go to shandon.org and go ahead and register for the event. Thank you guys so much for coming.